This podcast was created on Messy. Create your own show today at messy.fm.
Hello, Orlando City fans. This is your host, Gavin Rushner, and welcome back to the OC Lions Blog Podcast, a fan's perspective of Orlando City Soccer Club. Today is the Transfer Window Preview Podcast. I invited Taylor from Orlando City, UK onto the show, and he's going to help me look ahead to the offseason, and we're going to be looking at some of the players we should be signing, some of the positions we should be signing, some of the players we should be looking to get rid of who are currently on the roster, and all of the stuff that goes on with the transfer window. We're going to be looking ahead to all that, but before we get into that, I just want to quickly mention the MLS Now podcast that I'm a co-host of. Make sure to follow it at MLS Now Podcast on Twitter and on all streaming services, just in order to hear more about MLS as a whole. Just want to get that out of the way quickly. Let's get straight into the transfer window preview. Now, guys, as I previously mentioned, I'd like to welcome Taylor from Orlando City, UK. How are you doing today, Taylor?
Hey Gavin, how are you doing? It's great to be on. Always a pleasure talking Orlando City. So thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I definitely appreciate you having on. Before we get started though, I understand you recently moved to Toronto. How are you enjoying your time up there so far?
That's right. Yeah, no, thanks for mentioning. My partner and I moved over here from the UK back in March, and honestly, I can say it's one of the best things I've done in my life to experience a different country, to be lucky enough to live there. And I've got to say, Toronto is an amazing city. If you've not been before, obviously you'll know stuff like the CN Tower, the sports teams they have here, like the Raptors. But honestly, come up here, experience it for yourself. It's amazing. There's a great microbrewery scene as well that I know you guys love down in Orlando as well. So I definitely recommend it.
Are you homesick at all? Like, it's a long way from home.
It is a long way from home across the Atlantic, of course, but it means I get to watch MLS at a sensible hour now, so it's not so bad. So not too homesick just yet.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's good. So before we do get straight into the actual preview, I wanted to quickly talk about a couple things unrelated to the transfer window. And so first off, I have to get some of your thoughts, Taylor, on such a disappointing end to a promising season.
Well, we've had a couple of weeks now, haven't we, since that fire loss. And I think, firstly, I just want to say how jealous I am of watching all these other teams in the playoffs this weekend. I want to say that first and foremost. But man, 2019, right? It looked a whole lot more positive, and then that 1-0 loss to Atlanta, wasn't it, in late August. We just, old habits returned, didn't they? We just, when we needed to step on the gas, we didn't. And I think it's so disappointing because, you know, we could see a progression. You know, we were a lot harder to beat. But just where was that belief? Where was that, you know, going through the gears when we needed to in that final third of the season? I mean, so disappointing. It was such a shame that it was Atlanta that unraveled us again. You know, we put everything into that game and we just never really recovered mentally after that.
Yeah, that I was definitely going to bring up that point. Atlanta lost 100%, that 1-0. It took everything out of us. It took the wind out of our sails. And Eddie and I talked about that on the preview or the review podcast of the season and just how mentally draining it must have been. You know, we have that monkey on our back, never won against Atlanta. They come into our house and they sit deep. We create all the chances. We deserve to win the game and we get nothing out of it. And like you said, just our mentality left and old habits returned and we couldn't get the job done.
I think as well, Gavin, I think the big regret in that final third of the season is that, I watch all of the games just like you, and how many weekends did results line up for us? Correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a few weeks, but I remember one evening when I think even Cincinnati picked up a result at Montreal, who at the time, Montreal were our competition for hunting down that seventh place. I just remember a couple of weekends where if only we turned one point into three or none into three when we really needed to, we had openings to do it, and that's a massive regret.
Yeah, and you're correct. You are 100% correct. It happened time after time after time. It seemed like every single weekend we were getting results going our way until the final two, right leading up to the Houston game where we got that final loss. But, you know, it's actually quite similar to, we're both Arsenal fans. At the end of last season, every single week, teams around us were dropping points, and for some reason, we could not take advantage. And it's a very similar situation. Orlando just couldn't take advantage of these teams' form, and we end up, you know, falling down the pecking order, and we end the season in 11th place. So, yet another season, just not good enough.
And that's the thing. I mean, that final third of the season, we all very quickly forgot the good work we'd done in earlier in the season. Of course, you know, natural. We're football fans, you know, and when it came to the business end of the season, as I say, I keep saying it, but we needed to step on the gas. The fact we didn't, I mean, you really can't blame anybody else other than ourselves. I've listened to a lot of the other pods this season, and they've been quite right when they say that looking back at 2019 as a whole, we never really got pro'd too many times either. You know, we've had some stinkers of decisions in the past 3 or 4 years, but you can't really say there was many this season where we really got played other than that first weekend against NYCFC. You know, ultimately, it's us that played ourselves. You know, we never went to that next level when we needed to. So until we wake up and, you know, have a stronger mentality, I think that's the key thing to say. Until we all have a stronger mentality as a club, you know, we're going to be used to disappointment, which we all can't stand, of course.
Yeah, very frustrating end of the season. And you're right, refereeing decisions were pretty, even this season, I thought the refereeing has been pretty good. And unfortunately, it seems like we have a losing culture here. And you know, maybe that came from the boss, which I want to transition to talking to you about. You know, we've had a losing culture here now. I wouldn't say so under Adrian Heath. I thought we had a winning culture under Adrian Heath. We wanted to progress. We wanted to get better under him. And then all of a sudden, we fire him. We get in Jason Christ, who the board obviously wanted. He does decent and then has that horrible run. They fire him, bring in James O'Connor, and it's just a losing culture now. And it's been talked a lot about on this show in particular and around the other podcasts, but I do want to hear everyone's take on it. Did you agree with the James O'Connor firing?
Well, look, this is the massive question, isn't it, at the moment? The way I'm going to sum it up, first of all, I want to say that James O'Connor is an Orlando City man, isn't he? You know, played for the club in USL, went on to Louisville, achieved success with them, and then came back as a head coach, you know, a dream job for him. So first of all, I want to say, you know, thanks to James for all his contributions, you know, first as a player and then a head coach. But this really has got OC Twitter split, hasn't it? James O'Connor's sacking. I mean, it's difficult saying goodbye to someone like Adrian Heath, who's so ingrained in the culture of the Lions and Orlando City. I don't know, though, man. You know, I don't, if I'm really going to get off the fence and say, I really like the guy, I've got nothing against him, but I'm not too sad. And I'm not too sad because I want to win now. You know, I've seen other Orlando fans out there. We all want to win now. And can we all honestly sit here today and say we think playoffs would be a sure thing next season? I think James O'Connor had us trending in the right direction, but it was a historically poor 2018, wasn't it? You know, I think it's fair to say that we improved, but we also came below expectations as well. You know, I do think, you know, it's a really difficult subject because I met James O'Connor up there in Montreal earlier in the season. And he's a really good guy and he's an Orlando man. And I don't like this mentality we're getting now of hiring and firing. But at the same merit, to not get playoffs in our first 5 seasons, everyone in Orlando City is incredibly desperate to have a taste. And I'm not too sad about it. You know, the way we capitulated in the final third of last season and the fact we didn't... I think the key thing to say is the fact we did not string back-to-back victories in MLS all season long. I think no matter that he improved the defence, we conceded 52 this year. a horrible, horrible 74 last year. So the defence improved, make no mistake, but no back-to-back wins all season long. I think it's very difficult to keep your job, especially as well when you've won, I believe the stat, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he left Orlando City with 14 victories from 57 games. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's the stat I saw. I think it's very difficult to keep your job with those stats, I'm afraid. You know, it's harsh, but I'm not too sad about it. I just need the guys to get the next hire, right?
Yeah, it's really complicated, and I do believe the stat is correct, so you were correct. But it's complicated, Taylor. We all like him, as you said. I don't think anybody who is an Orlando City fan who is sane is sitting here going, he's a terrible guy, he has done nothing but ruin this club, he needs to get out. No, we all like him, he's very relatable, he seems like a great player manager, you can really get the guys hyped up for games. You know, we came out the blocks flying in some of the big games, the Atlanta game especially, when you think about it. But the results weren't good enough, and unfortunately, if they're not there, you have to get in your own guy if you're Luis Muzzi. And said it before, I'll say it again, that's what it comes down to. You know, in the PR release, he came out and said, unfortunately, I didn't hire him. And I could have fired him, but I gave him a year. Mm-hmm. He didn't come up to expectations. And now we're going to have to move on. And hopefully Muzzi gets in the right guy. Hopefully he brings in the right players. And, you know, the East is going to be competitive next year. We have Chicago making moves. We have Inter Miami. They're going to be splashing the cash. We have Philadelphia now, who just won their game just now over New York Red Bulls. They are a threat. New York Red Bulls, they're a threat too. They're always strong in the season. They're always a playoff team. And, you know, they fell to six, but for most of the season, they were in the top four. And that doesn't even cover it all. We have Toronto. We have Montreal. The East is going to be very competitive next year. I mean, what is going to set us apart from the rest is the players we bring in and the coach we bring in. And, you know, I trust Luis Muzzi to get it all right. But, you know, it's still nerve-wracking, to say the least.
Barry, I think you've hit the nail on the head with those points there, Gavin. I mean, I've said this for a long time. I think the Eastern Conference is the more difficult conference. You've got Chicago Fire going into Soldier Field, returning there next season. I think they're going to come again as a franchise. You've probably got someone like DC United trending negatively. But other than that, I mean, you've seen it with Union, who have won their game today. Incredible season they've had. It just keeps getting better. The way we do it, how do we upset the apple cart and how do we force our way in there? It's smart moves from the front office, isn't it? You know, we've got to get this hire right. You've mentioned Luis Muzzi, obviously splitting opinions, getting rid of someone who's an Orlando City man like James O'Connor. I mean, first and foremost, he's got balls, hasn't he, Luis Muzzi? We've all seen the interview on the day that James O'Connor got fired. He came out, didn't he? He said he's got around 35 names circling around in his inbox of interested managers. I mean, I have no doubt that there's a lot of head coaches out there interested in the Orlando City role. My only fear is that 5 years in, we've earned this reputation now, haven't we, as a hire and fire team. I don't know. We need to make smarter, certainly than the 5 years we've been in MLS so far. We need to make smarter decisions at front office level, and this next hire, I mean, it absolutely has to be right, doesn't it? And I think as well that obviously you go five seasons without reaching the postseason, that brings its own frustrations. But I think what really makes us sick as Orlando fans is the fact that we've seen clubs come in after us. We obviously all know about Atlanta United, but even Minnesota United with Inchi this season, I think they're the example where it's a very workmanlike, not spectacular roster, and Inchi had the time there, they've stuck with him and he's got there. And I think it's seeing teams like them, let alone having Inter Miami as a Florida rival coming in next season, that we're kind of all losing our heads a bit, and quite rightly, because there's absolutely no certainty that we're going to be all right. So he's got big balls to get rid of James O'Connor, who was a fan favourite, although he didn't have the results, but it's all on him. Whether you're questioning whether I trust him, I think that some of the players that have been brought in under his watch have performed. Juan, Jackson Mendes, Sebas Mendes, of course, you know, Tesho Akindele. He came from Dallas as well, where Muzy was working. So I think it's one of those where he's upsetting the apple cart, but let's go with him. You know, we have to, you know, as supporters of the club, let's go with him. Let's see what he's going to do. But they have to get this higher rate.
Yeah, Muzy's really stepped up and taken power. He's really stepped up and, you know, he's stepped forward and said, I'm taking this club forward. I want to win. He has come out and said he wants to challenge for silverware. You know, he said, we can make the playoffs 10 years in a row, but it's not good enough. I want to win. And that's what we need here. That's what we need here. Sometimes we just need to, we need someone to push us. You know, we all love coming to the game, seeing people we love, seeing the old times, and, you know, looking on the bench and seeing James O'Connor, and we want him to succeed and we want to give him time to succeed. Sometimes we just need that extra little push from someone saying, hey, you know, it's great to want to succeed 3 years from now, 2 years from now. I want to succeed now. You know, this isn't the biggest market, Orlando. Yeah, we have Disney and we have Universal and we have all that stuff in town. But, you know, we're no LA, we're no New York. Even Chicago would be a big sports market. Sometimes we just need that push from Muzy. And so the push came. He fired James O'Connor, and we all know it. And a lot of debate happened between, was this already in the works beforehand? Now it's not looking like it. You know, my first instinct was to say, yeah, it was. You know, fired the day after the season ended. Surely this was in the works a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But instead, the search for a coach continues. And I want to get your thoughts on how long it's taking to find our next coach. Are you worried about the length of time? I mean, it's been a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, it has been a couple of weeks. If I'm brutally honest, I want them to find the right guy. So as long as it takes, I'm comfortable with that. On the same merit, I hope it doesn't take too much longer in terms of weeks, because if you fire James O'Connor the day after the season, it was obviously premeditated before that Chicago game. You have to have an ace up your sleeve. You know, it has to be for a reason. You know, we've got a while yet before the off season, mid-season, the mini transfer window and the draft and those kind of things kick in. But if you sack him a day after, you've got to have a plan up your sleeve. So I want them to take the time to find the right guy, but in the same merit, I don't want it to be too much longer. You sack him a day after the final game to Chicago because you're instilling that plan from that moment forward. So I hope it doesn't take them too much longer.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. We've taken a while to get in a new manager, but we have to get this one right. As you've been saying, we have to get this one right. We cannot mess this one up. We can't do another Jason Kreis. We can't be so focused on one or two people that we have to get one of them through the door and hope that they're going to work. It has to be Muzy's guy. It has to be someone who is going to use the players properly and is going to make this team not only fun to watch, because I think that's something that Muzy wants to do, but also successful. And so you're spot on with all of that. But in terms of actual rumors, we've all heard Caixinha. We've all heard the Solari rumors. As the days go by, it looks like that was just stuff from his agent. And we've heard Coman because of his wife. I personally want Ariel Holan, but he will not be coming to Orlando. I spoke with him over the Instagram DMs, and he said, unfortunately, no, I'm talking to other clubs right now. So, unfortunately, he will not be coming. Do you have a coach who you personally want, whether it was one of the three previously mentioned, or do you have somebody who hasn't been mentioned already?
If you're asking me, to be honest with you, second-guessing managerial appointments in MLS, it's very difficult, isn't it? It's very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you've got those MLS kind of 1.0, 1.5 almost managers that have been around the block a lot. We were linked with Caleb Porter, weren't we, last time around before he went to Crew. I'll be honest, Gavin, I don't have a clue who they're going to go for. I think the search is going to be far and wide. I just want to see a guy that is an experienced disciplinarian. I mean, we know James O'Connor was a disciplinarian in the fact that he absolutely roasted the team, didn't he, on the training ground. That was JOC all over, wasn't it? That's what he was known for, to the extent in some quarters that, you know, they left so much on the training field that they were knackered when they hit the pitch. But I wanted an experienced disciplinarian, and I want a big name if possible. I remember, this is going back a couple of years now, but we were linked with people like Luis Felipe Scolari. You know, I want a big name. I want someone that's really going to capture the imagination. I mean, we've really been feeding on scraps, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Rumours and of people out there who are going to get the job. I mean, the really peculiar one was seeing Chris Coleman's wife there, who she used to work on Sky Sports News back in England. Seeing her comment, I mean, I was like, is this a troll account? But it was a verified account. I mean, there's no smoke without fire. So Chris Coleman, who did a very good job with the Wales national team before he went to Sunderland and couldn't turn around that club, many have failed. But I wasn't really behind that one, if that was a true move, Chris Coleman. I don't think he's the right fit. I want someone who really is going to capture the imagination. I see a lot of fellow pods and on Twitter mentioning, does the next head coach need MLS experience? I mean, I think you look at the San Jose Earthquakes, who were a team worse than 2018 Orlando City, and look at the progress they made this season in a short amount of time under Almeida. And he was managing, obviously, in South America. So I don't think the next head coach needs to have worked in MLS before, but I have no clue who it would be. I'd love to be in the know and have a few leads to fill you guys in on, but honestly, I don't. We're just patiently waiting. But I want it to be someone who captures the imagination. This is a, as you said earlier in the pod, it's a weak mentality in that dressing room right now. It's a losing culture in Orlando. It needs someone strong, you know, to work with Nani as captain to really change the culture, you know, without risk of sounding like Justin Merrin. we need to change the culture in this club, you know, and as we both keep recapping, you know, it has to be the right hire.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be the right hire. We're at a crossroads now. We're really at a crossroads. We could either get the right guy and we could move up the leaderboards and we could become a successful team for the next 5 years, or we could get the wrong guy, be in the depths of despair and not really know how to move on, how to move up. You know, what happens if we go 7, 8, 9 years without it? Then what? No one's going to want to come here. It's going to be very hard to claw our way out if we get that far. So we're at a crossroads now, and we have to get it right. But I do want to move away from all that, because we have talked about it for quite a long time now, and this is the transfer window preview. So I'd actually like to start talking about the actual transfer window. And I want to quickly just talk about some important dates that some people may not have seen. So on November 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time until November 13th at 8 p.m. is the mini transfer window, so we can trade and sign players in that time frame. It used to be only like a 12 or 18 hour period, and now it's about 2 days to get some trades or signings in, so that's going to be nice to see. The MLS expansion draft is going to be on the 19th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and the list of eligible players will be released on November 16th at 10 a.m., so that is when we'll know who we decided to save and who we decided to possibly be taken by Inter Miami and Nashville. And then finally, the deadline to exercise the options on players is on the 21st of November at 1 p.m. And here's where I did want to ask you a quick question. You know, I've heard many people complain about the length of time it has taken to find our new coach. We have talked about it already. But we do have until the 21st to decide who to move on from in terms of players. And so obviously we will want our coach sooner rather than later, but to me, it's not the end of the world if the search continues a little bit longer. Do you agree that the club should take their time in making sure they're getting the right guy, or should the club be looking to get someone in as fast as possible so the manager has the maximum amount of time to make decisions?
I think that, as I was saying, you know, this is a very crucial hire. We are at a crossroads in the young history of Orlando City, but they have to get the right hire. I mean, if you look players-wise, actually, I've made a couple notes here, like the Chicago Fire have signed Alvaro Medran, Spanish midfielder who used to be at Real Madrid. I saw the Revs picked up, Manchester United fans might remember him, Alexander Butner. Already, so there's a few roster moves already taking place for next season. As you say, we have got to November 21st, so I don't think it's the end of the world. But as I say, Lewis Musey got rid of James O'Connor the day after the Fire loss. So I think his plan does need to start materialising itself soon. The fans are being patient, that's all we can be, but it is deadly quiet right now, and there's no firm rumours coming across on Twitter. So, yeah, I would like to see them get a move on, certainly within the next 2 weeks.
One little conspiracy theory coming from me, actually, is, you know, we saw the drama with Coleman's wife, and they all, the agent, the wife, they both followed Orlando City on social media, so on Twitter, and they're still following to this day. And, you know, all the stuff from all the drama from them has died down, obviously, but they are on vacation right now. So my little conspiracy theory is once they are done with their vacation, he will be announced. Because, you know, I don't really see any reason as to why both the agent and the wife would be talking about Orlando City, would be following them on social media. I mean, we're just a team from MLS. They haven't really had anything to do with MLS. And you know, why would they even follow Orlando City? So for me, that's my little conspiracy theory. And if that's true, that means that he's already been talking to the players. He's already been making phone calls, talking to Musey, and because you can do that while on vacation, even if you're not announced, you know, you can be taking phone calls, talking about the players, what you want, who you don't want, and then you come back and do some face-to-face interviews with the players after the announcement or even before the announcement. But they are on vacation right now. So my little conspiracy theory is after that vacation, he will come in and he will be announced. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think, as you say, we are only Orlando City, aren't we? You know, obviously, we all have a big opinions of our own club, but in the grand scheme of things, there is no smoke without fire, is there? And to see those few exchanges and engagements on social media, I think it told you a lot. I do believe that they've had discussions with Chris Coleman, but isn't this the thing? You know, Chris Coleman, I mean, that's a name literally plucked from anywhere. I think it's so difficult, isn't it, to second guess clubs' next moves in Major League Soccer. It's the same with the transfers as well. They only really reveal themselves on the day they're announced or the day before. You know, things are very secretive and behind the scenes. I think if they appointed Chris Coleman tomorrow, would I be delighted? I think it's a complete shot in the dark. You know, it's a manager who hasn't been managing consistently over the last couple of years. I think actually he was managing over in China, his most recent job.
Yep.
As I mentioned earlier in the pod, did a very good job with Wales, but that was a very long time ago now. But MLS is a completely different ball game whatsoever. But, you know, when people come into the league, they're either amazing or they fail. So I could not tell you, I'd love to, but I could not tell you how he would do if he was employed by Orlando City tomorrow. But I do believe your conspiracy theory is right. He could, obviously, he's on holiday at the moment. It's very deadly silent. He might well be one of the outstanding candidates, but I wouldn't know how to feel if Chris Coleman was announced tomorrow.
Yeah, it would definitely be a shot in the dark. You're 100% correct. We don't know a lot about him. You know, we can all watch that Sunderland documentary on Netflix. We can all talk to fans of previous teams. We won't know until we see what's going on with him. Maybe he could be the best thing we've ever done, or maybe he could just be another Jason Kreis. Now, I want to look at the squad. And I want to look at the entire squad, and I want to look at their salaries. And I wanted to ask you very quickly here, would you keep the certain player, or would you move on from them? Because this looks like it's going to be another off season of a lot of change, just to get some money into the door, and just to be able to get the players that we need. You know, the last two off seasons have been, you know, we've had like what, 10 to 15 transactions in both off seasons. It's just so much in and out, in and out, in and out. We need a consistent squad, but we still have players on the books that we need to get rid of. So I want to start with the goalkeepers, and we're going to try and get through this as fast as possible. Sure. Starting off with Mason Stajdahar. He's on $70,875 a week. Would you keep him or would you move him on?
Well, Mason wasn't. He was at Tulsa on loan. With this guy, I just want to see him play a first team game for Orlando City. It would be great to see him get a cup game next season. Obviously only on 70 grand. I would keep Mason for next season.
All right. For me, you know, he hasn't played, and it's a great story and we love it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see if we moved on from him. I personally would. I know that's kind of a odd thing to say because he has been through so much and he was a promising player back in the day, but is he the same now? Who knows? I'd personally move on from him. When, unfortunately, if we're being cutthroat here, we could use those wages somewhere else. Greg Ranjit Singh, $70,250 per year.
I think he did okay when he stepped up this year. He got the two games out there in the Pacific Northwest at Portland, Seattle. I think he's solid backup. If anything, he's still an unknown quantity because he is a backup goalkeeper by default. So I wouldn't be begrudged either way, keep or loss.
Yeah, for me, also another move on. Now I'm being cutthroat here, as you can see. I liked him. What'd you say?
I said, no, you're being a lot more cutthroat than me. Maybe I need to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did like him. I liked him. I thought he commanded his box well. But yet again, for me, I come from watching European football, and I see two goalkeepers on that roster. You don't need to spend money on a good enough third goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. For me, Ranjit Singh and Grinwis are on very similar levels. If we can get one of them out of this team and, again, save those wages and use them somewhere else in the squad, we are a team that does not have a lot of money. You know, I would use it. And it's unfair to Ranjit Singh because I think he is good enough to be a backup in MLS. And, you know, he could possibly take his chance and be a good goalkeeper for an MLS team. But right now, I don't see a reason to have three keepers who are all of decent or good quality. So for me, it'd be move on from him. How about Grinwis for you?
Absolutely. Well, as you say, you know, we had four goalkeepers on the books. All of them took part in a matchday squad at some point this season. I think you make a good point. I think we used the money elsewhere. Obviously, Grinwis won the hearts of the supporters in the Open Cup shootout. I think he's a great shot stopper. If I was in a choice between Ranjit Singh and Grinwis, I would pick Grinwis. But I think you make a good point. I think you need an established first choice. If Mason was to stay, Mason as the third choice, and then just one of those two. So I would keep Grinwis and let Ranjit Singh go.
All right, yeah, so I'd keep him as well. $70,875 a year for Grinwis. I forgot to mention. So he's a keep for me. Ro, this one is one for a lot of discussion. I'm going to start off with saying keep. What do you think?
Interesting. I stuck up for Brian Rowe a lot earlier this season. It seemed a lot of our supporters were ready to, can I say, hate on the guy as soon as he came through the doors. Obviously, journeyman at Major League Soccer goalkeeper. He's had high points, but I think we can do better. I think Joe Bendick in his peak was a better goalkeeper than Brian Rowe. I think there's better out there. If you're asking me who I like out there in the market right now, there's Ethan Horvath at Club Bruges. Used to start for them, not starting right now. He'd be very expensive, don't get me wrong, as a US men's national team international. But I think there's a better goalkeeper than Brian Rowe out there. And I just can't get over the Rooney one again at DC and the New England Revolution one that killed us, you know, like mental lapses in concentration at big moments. I like Brian Rowe, the guy, but I think we can do better. I'd move him on.
Yeah, that's a good point. He is on $95,000 a year. I don't know. The reason I said keep was in terms of money, like you said, that guy from Club Bruges would be extremely expensive. Do we have the extra cash to splash on another goalkeeper? Now, but if you think about it, if you do what I did, and you get rid of Staj Johar, you get rid of Ranjit Singh, and you get rid of Rowe. Well, I was keeping Rowe, so not what I did. But let's say we get rid of those three goalkeepers and get in that big name goalkeeper through the door. Then you have about 250 to 300,000 to spend on a goalkeeper. And that helps. That helps. And so that's a good point. You bring up a good point about Brian Rowe. He did fail us a couple times. And I stuck up for him as well, you know, at the beginning of the season. Even I sometimes was like, oh, come on, really? Especially that long shot in preseason. Yeah. That was, I think a lot of people made assumptions off of that, but I think he had a pretty good season. But in those big key moments, the DC United chip, the New England chip as well, it was rough to see. So I'm on the fence about it. I could go either way, but for now, I will keep it as keep. Huan. 160,000 a year.
Yeah.
This one should be an easy one.
This is an absolute no-brainer. This is what we need to do. I said we need to make smart moves in the front office. This was a smart move of 2019. What can I say that's not already been said? Juan, one of our players of the season, sign him up.
Yep, sign him up. Smith, 70,250.
Not good enough for me. No, move on.
All right. I have him as keep. I like him as a backup option. I'm not going to lie. He can do a job across the entire back four. I'd probably only keep him as a third option if we are in an emergency, though. But I said keep, but I wouldn't mind either way, I guess. Sané, Lamine Sané, big talking point, 902,500 a year. Would you keep or would you get rid of?
Again, he's one of those top earners, isn't he? He's been at Exploria Stadium for a while now. This was an interesting one. I think we keep him, but if we can buy him down a little, I think the partnership this season, Lamine Sané and Robin Jansen, that was one of the major plus points in our season. You can't deny that they improved our defence no end. But he is susceptible to a mistake, isn't he, Lamine Sané? He's not without errors. I think Robin Jansen is the better defender, but I think as a two, I think they do a really good job. He's well liked in the dressing room as well. I'd like to see Sané stay, but there's no getting away from the fact that we're paying him a lot of money. He's another year older. If we can pay him down, I'd keep him. I think that's the way I'd sum Lamine Sané up.
Yep, I have to agree. I want to keep him only on the terms of we can buy his salary down, or maybe just, you know, just keep him on that salary, I guess, and just bite the bullet. You know, he's well liked in the dressing room, like you said. He's a leader. I think he's been here for a while now. This will be his third MLS season. So I would say keep. If we can move him on and bring someone in for cheaper, you know, you don't want to disrupt the partnership, but I would also say definitely do it, because the next person would be younger. The next person, if he is better. It is a risk, but for right now, I'm on the fence. I would say keep. Shane O'Neill. This one is an interesting one for me. 125,000. Would you keep him or would you move him on?
I'm sorry. Easiest one of the lot for me. I obviously run Orlando City UK. We're aligned with the club, but I have to get off the fence on this one and say this man is not good enough for Orlando City. I have not forgiven him for that mistake early in the season against Chicago Fire when he let CJ Sapong equalise in the last minute. This guy has just not been good enough for me. This guy, unfortunately, symbolises the weak culture of Orlando. He is not good enough. I want to see him moved on if possible.
Yeah, I said move on, but the reason I said it was hard for me is we have a big gap of right centre-back options. We have Sané and we have O'Neill. Dejan is left-footed, left centre-back. Kamal Miller, left center back, left footed. Jansen, left center back, left footed. My only talking point here was, should we look to keep him as a depth point of view? Or do we look for another depth piece at right center back who might be a little bit better than Shane O'Neill?
I gotta say, I think you can find a lot better right sided center back options out there than Shane O'Neill. He's had enough opportunities now. That's what you have to say with a few of these Orlando players as well. They've had a fair few auditions now to get it right. And I'm sorry, move him on.
Yeah, I like your point there. There are a lot of players out there who we could be going after. There's one guy who I was looking at, Carl Wimet. in USL. He plays for Indy 11, I believe, and he's right-footed. He'd probably be much cheaper. O'Neill is on 125,000 a week or a year, not a week. And he has MLS experience with the New York Red Bulls, so I think that could be someone we could be looking at. I believe his contract runs out soon, and we could move O'Neill on. If I didn't say it before, I am just going to say it now. I did say move on from O'Neill. Now another easy one. Janssen, 261,000. Keeper, move on.
Very easy one. Captured the imagination this season. He's a leader. We need more of those in the dressing room. I think for a first MLS season, he adapted incredibly well. And he left some on Ezequiel Barco, didn't he? He the job. You don't need to endear yourself to the wall more than that. We need more like him in the squad. Keep.
All right. How about DeJean? 135,000, backup. Keeper, move on.
Alex DeJean, he barely figured, didn't he, in the second half of the season. I think he was very good. His standout game was against the Red Bulls in that 1-0 smash and grab early in the season. I really like this guy from what I saw of him earlier in the season. I think he's good backup, left-footed as well. I think we keep him.
Yeah, I said move on because his wages are a bit high. I guess they're not too high, 135,000. But I think we wanted to start the season in a 3-4-3 or 3-5-2. I think that was the intention of James O'Connor, and it didn't work. I think DeJean was supposed to be a starting fixture in that. I think, you know, he started the season in that, and I thought he was one of our better center backs. Injuries did not help him this season, and then we moved to the 4-3-3, and so that's obviously one less slot to play. And then Janssen and Sané form a partnership. You make a good point. I don't see why not. I don't see why we shouldn't keep him. So I'm actually going to switch my answer from move on to keep. Kamal Miller, 56,250.
Kamal Miller, it's a guy who's on the rise in his career. Not just saying this, obviously, because we interviewed him earlier in the year. I think this guy's a stud. I think we did a really good job at drafting him out of Syracuse. He's still raw, of course, finding his way, first professional season, but he's now a starter on the Canadian men's national team. I was there at BMO Field when they played the US. Sorry for mentioning it earlier this week. But I think Kamal did a good job this year. He wasn't faultless, but, you know, what player is in their first ever professional season? Played at left back a lot under James O'Connor. I'd like to see him given more opportunities at centre-back, which is preferred position, but it will depend on what formation the new head coach wants to play. That determines whether he'll be a starter or, again, a good depth piece.
He played at left-back for Canada too, correct?
He did, yeah. John Herdman's starting to play him at left-back now too. So
Versatility is always nice if you want to get some game time.
Very true. I think it is a good string to his bow.
Yep. So now another left-back. Oh, what was that?
I would keep, sorry, just to say, on Komoda.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Yeah, keep for me as well. Another keep for me is Moutinho. He's on 140,000 a week, but his injuries are a concern to me. Should we be looking for a starting level left back and kind of relegate Moutinho to the bench for a season, or should we just bring in a backup who can contribute more than, let's say, Acosta did? Moutinho, keep or sell, or move on for you?
This is a tough one. For weeks, it felt like for weeks, Juan and Moutinho were stealing the show. I feel like Orlando City was so much more dangerous with Moutinho's crossing abilities early in the season. He's a very good crosser of the ball. His injuries are a concern, but he's only 21, isn't he? I would keep him. I would keep him. I did prefer Mohamed Elmenir, obviously no longer with us, compared to Moutinho, but I think he did a good job when he was fit and healthy earlier in the season. So on 140,000, he was at LAFC before. He knows the league. I think we keep him.
Yeah, okay. So would you bring in a backup then?
I think we have other positions that we need more. Having said that, though, just mentioning that, it depends. You know, we're coming on to Danny Acosta next, which is his own subject. But Moutinho's a strange one because he did start the season, but we could easily go out there and sign a first team left back as well. But I would keep him and kind of see how the market plays itself.
Yeah, Moutinho is still very young, so he's only going to get better. And at least we can hope so, you know, coming off an injury-laden season. Hopefully he will improve in physicality and being able to stay fit and improve in his game as well, because he has a good left foot on him. And he really teamed up well with Luis Nani. The Portuguese combinations were always great to see. And now moving on to Danny Acosta, or Danilo Acosta. 110,000. I had a controversial one. I said keep, so I'm going to ask you what you said.
Very interesting. Well, you might know better than me, Gavin, but he was on a loan, right, from RSL, but did we have the option?
Mm-hmm. We do. We have an option, 75,000 of general allocation money.
We do have the option. I mean, this is a guy where now James O'Connor is gone. I mean, he might have a new lease of life under a new manager that that likes him. I think Danilo Acosta, you know, he was completely out of favour with James O'Connor. And I think the way to sum it up is that we don't know what the problem was. Some said attitude on Twitter, perhaps unfairly, you know, we don't know all the information, but you don't get left out of a squad consistently, you know, when Kamal Miller was shifted across, if there's not a problem. So it does worry me. He got called up for the Gold Cup for Honduras and then didn't play for them in that competition. I'm only guessing. I'm only speculating like the rest of Twitter, but it does worry me how he was left out even when he was fit. Saw on his Instagram throughout the season, you know, we'd have Orlando games kicking off and he was kind of watching on TV. You know, we need fit players in the squad and contributing. So I would move him on. But yeah, he is an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. I only said keep because, going back to my previous question, he's a cheap backup. He's a cheap backup, even a third string option, even emergency. And also, my other point was what you said. He's going to have a new lease of life under a new manager. Maybe he can, you know, maybe the other manager can unlock him. I remember hearing somewhere that he struggled with Petke as well over in RSL, and he never saw any game time under him either. And so it's interesting. Maybe he does have a bad attitude, obviously just speculating. We will never know. I don't think, or we may know if once he leaves and somebody says something about it. But for 75,000 in general allocation money, he's still very young. He has potential. He can always change his attitude if that is the problem. I would say keep, just so that's one less thing for the front office to deal with.
Yeah. I think you make a valid point. As I said, there's other areas of the team that are a more pressing need. So Acosta's there, and the issue was with James O'Connor. So as you say, you know, under a new head coach, you know, he may well flourish.
All right. Yeah. So Mendes, 450,000 a year. Keep or move on?
Every penny for me. Was obviously signed as Yoshi Yotun's replacement. Different players, of course. It would be unfair to compare them, but he plays beyond his years, doesn't he? He's an Ecuador international. I think he would shine even more in a leading MLS team. I think he did a great job in his first season. He's one of the hustlers in there, and a player that is only going to get better. 450K, keep Sebas Mendes.
Yeah, 100% agree. Very underrated league-wide, in my opinion. And there was even a piece on MLS soccer.com about he was one of the underrated central defensive midfielders in the entire league. So keep. Higuita, a little bit more than Mendes, 475,000 in salary. The 611,000 comes from the fact that that's his guaranteed money. But salary-wise, going into next season, he'd be 475. Would you keep or would you move on from Higuita?
Well, I really hope we've not seen the last of Christian in purple. Look, I mean, I get it. He's a walking yellow card, isn't he? You know, liability for some, but he's our record appearance maker in MLS. He knows Orlando City inside out. And like you say, you know, there's going to be a lot of roster activity this year, but you do need some guys in there that know the club. As we were saying with Lamine Sane, I would definitely keep him now, reflecting back. But Higuita knows Orlando City. The fans love him. I love his tenacity. I love his fight. And it does not come as a surprise to me that there's clubs out there in Mexico interested, because, you know, he's just a great fighter, and you need those warriors on your team. So I would like to see Higuita stay, and I think Orlando are a better team with him in it.
Yeah, that was one of my big gripes at the beginning of the season with James O'Connor, his inability or his lack of want to play Higuita, I should say. It took him, what, 10 games before he finally put him on the field against Seattle, or and then he played him against Atlanta. And we were significantly better with him on the field than we were without him on the field. And when we had those good run of games in the middle of the season, Higuita was on the field. So it's no surprise, I guess I should say, that we kind of dipped in form when he got injured. My only problem with this was he does have rumors, and as we always see with MLS players and teams, that with rumors come announcements. With rumors come announcements, and I think he will be moved on. So the only reason I said move on is because I think he will be. Unfortunately, you know, people are speculating over that one post on Instagram. I don't think it was that big of a deal. Players always say, oh, thank you for your support at the end of the season. That doesn't just mean they're leaving. You know, Dwyer put up something a while ago, and it was him heading down the locker room tunnel, I believe. And people were like, oh, are you leaving? And it was like, no, Dwyer's not leaving. It's just a picture of him. So I think people are speculating too much into that. But the Liga MX rumors, there is some smoke to that fire. So I said move on just because of the fact that I think he will end up leaving, unfortunately.
Yeah. When you have a player as well, what I'll say on Higuita is this as well. If you have got a player whose head has been turned, if he does fancy a crack at the league down there in Liga MX, I say move on. You know, we need, especially now, you know, we need players who are 100% committed to the cause. I'm not saying Higuita isn't, but if his head has been turned, I think, yes, we move on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a good point. Mentality-wise, if he's not 100% here, he's got to go, because we need everybody next season to be 100% on this team. Yuri Rosell, $522,500 a year. Would you keep him or would you move on from him?
Right, for me, Yuri Rosell, I expected a lot of this guy. Sure, I mean, his job's to just sit in front of that back four, to sweep up, to play those side passes. I think for 522K, he doesn't blow me away. I would not be sad to see Yuri go, unfortunately. That's just my opinion on the guy. I think it's very hard. You can stand out as a defensive midfielder. I mean, God, look at N'Golo Kanté and what he's done. But Yuri doesn't blow me away. There's just something about him. He's on quite a lot of money here at Orlando City as well. Obviously been at SKC before, knows Major League Soccer, but I don't know, man. I think we can do better.
Yeah, I think we could get him off the wage bill. I mean, that is a hefty chunk of money for someone who doesn't start regularly. Mm-hmm. So I think we could see him go. And, you know, I like the guy. I like what he does. I think he's one of the better midfielders on the team. But the last couple of coaches either haven't utilized him correctly or haven't really given him a good enough look. And so he's going to be a casualty of the change, I think. So I said move on. Mm-hmm. Will Johnson, $455,000 a year. Keep or move on?
Wild man Will, eh? Well, let's just say this. At the halfway point of 2019, who would have ever imagined that he would be one of our, you know, more consistent performers halfway through the year? I don't know. I think he deserves credit for picking up his game. Every single person in Orlando City wanted him gone after that the Wayne Rooney incident. Still haunts me thinking of that. I think we've got too many bad memories, haven't we, unfortunately, of Will Johnson. He's an honest pro. You know, every one of his MLS clubs will say he's a hard worker, he's a battler. You need those warriors in the dressing room. But I don't know, I think he's been with the club too long. I think, you know, you can go stale. I think that's where we're at with Will Johnson right now. Props to him for picking it up when no one believed in him. But I don't know, I think he needs to be on the let-go pile.
Yeah, he's another central midfielder who I would let go. Again, a lot of money. He's only getting older. He seems to be in good shape. He seems to be running around. The end of the season, it did seem that he was slowing down a bit, but that DC, I will never forgive him.
No, ever. Never, ever. Never, ever can forgive him for that. And he's rash. And, you know, he's actually one of those players on Orlando City where he actually finds himself in our attack a lot of the time. You know, the blood and thunder. at times. You don't know what formation, what tactics we're playing. He often finds himself as the furthest forward, and he's not a goal scorer. Let's get it right, you know. So I think we move him on.
Yeah, definitely move him on. Carlos Azquez is up next for me. 420,000 a year. Another central midfielder who I said we should move on from. Do you agree with me?
I do agree with you, Gavin. I've got to agree. El Patron, called up by Peru a lot recently, so he's had a resurgence in his international career, which suggests that he's making waves at club level. Look, I don't see it that way. James O'Connor played him in defensive midfield this season. Obviously, can play at centre-back as well. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I just can't forgive him for all those blown chances to Atlanta, if you remember. I mean, he had four one-on-ones with Brekuzan, didn't he? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's not an attacker, is he? I don't think he knows what he is. I think that's the problem. At 420K, he's a brute. He's strong, but again, I think he's had too many auditions. I think there's better value out there, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and his loan is up. His loan is up at the end of the season.
Right. Yeah.
So there's been pictures of him watching his team back home and or back at his home. I don't know if that team's in Peru. I can't remember right now. But I think he's just another big piece of this midfield that we need to overhaul. And he's going to be another 420,000 off the wage bill.
No small change, exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money when you think that for 30,000 more, we're having Mendes in our midfield. So, you know, I think we can survive without Azquez next season.
Well, because he counts as an international as well, right? I mean,
he should. Alone. Yes.
Yeah.
I think he should count as an international. So that's a good point. I didn't even think of that international slot as well. That would free that up. We need as many of those as possible. Powers. Surprisingly, 200,000 a year. I did not know he was on that much. Keeper, move on.
Easy again for me. One of the guys that's been at the club for a little while now, you know, he's going to play US Open Cup. He's going to start in US Open Cup, isn't he? The only thing to say on Dylan Powers is that we managed to get rid of Lewis Hill in the trade, if you remember back. I think that's the only upside, every cloud, but Dylan Powers, look, you know, he was a good player with Rapids when he was just starting out, but he's one of the stale midfielders in our squad, I'm afraid.
Yeah, he's making too much money for me. Move on.
Move on.
Cam Lindley was on loan at Memphis this last season, made waves over there. I will be having a podcast out soon talking with a Memphis 901 FC podcaster and going in depth about his time over there in Memphis. For me, I said keep. He's on 90,000. He has a bright future ahead of him. What did you think?
Cam Lindley, yeah, interesting one. Obviously got a lot of playing time down in USL with Memphis 901. I liked what I saw. I mean, with Cam, he got a few opportunities, didn't he, under Jason Christ. I want to see more of him in 2020. I think it was a positive loan spell. It'll be interesting, as you say, chatting to the other Memphis fan who would have seen him on a weekly basis. I think he deserves an opportunity. He's a young player. 90,000. You know, it's not a lot. I would like to see more of him. I think every time with Cam Lindley, what strikes to mind is I remember seeing he had quite a shot on him as well. I remember seeing on Twitter throughout the season he grabbed a few goals. I would like to see this guy given an opportunity. He's a potential replacement for Uri or Azquez as a defensive-minded midfielder. So I think Cam deserves a shot, and especially with a new head coach coming in now, he could take a liking to him. Obviously, he's going to buckle down and work hard after that Memphis loan. Points to prove under a new head coach. So I think definite keep.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great replacement for Uri Rossell. From what I've seen and from the stats that I've looked at for him, he seems to be the guy that sits there and does the Rossell job. Sits there, moves the ball on, wins tackles, and he's also very good at creating chances. He had the most chances created for Memphis 901 this season with 57, I believe, which is, as a defensive mid, an obscene amount, in my opinion, especially for USL. That just shows that his quality is higher than USL. And so if we can get him at 90,000 and say goodbye to Rossell, that is a big chunk of change that we could invest somewhere else in the squad. Again, I would keep him. Now, the next easy one for me, and it's unfortunate because we all, I think we all wanted so much more out of this transfer, but Sasha Kljestan, he's on $1,025,000 a year, obviously going to be a move on.
Obviously a move on, I'm afraid. Quite simply, a huge drain of cash. And as you say, it is a massive shame. Big things were expected. Obviously, we did a madness, didn't we, in that that transfer window where we signed Justin Merrin, we signed Sasha Kljestan. These are big MLS moves, you know. And it captured the imagination, but it just has not panned out that way, has it? He's too old now. He's too slow. I'm afraid it's over for Sasha. Great guy, nothing against him, but footballing wise now, at this stage in his career, I cannot see any point in keeping him at that salary. You know, it's a hell of a lot of money. His best days are behind him.
Yeah, it's quite a simple one. We're gonna move on from him. He got his last couple of minutes, and he actually made a very good assist. That's probably the one assist that when we signed him, I was like, oh, we're gonna see tons of these. Yeah. And that little through ball to Benji, I believe it was, and it comes on his final appearance, and he just hasn't been good for us. His physicality is dwindling by the second, and he is way too much money. So we're gonna move on from him. Now a young up-and-coming attacking mid who split opinion this season, especially early on, Coleman, $450,000 a year. Would you keep or would you move on from the young Paraguayan?
Josue Coleman, right. Man, I've been so disappointed in this guy, and I think it's for the fact that he was a stud when we bought him, you know, like we had high hopes for him, you know, obviously took the number 10 shirt from Kaká. We'd all seen the YouTube videos, very skillful, diminutive, you know, that kind of player who's like in vogue, you know, in trend in MLS. But I'm sorry. I mean, I've just not seen enough from him. Don't get me wrong. On the flip side, any young player like him in the position he plays, he needs regular minutes. He did not get that used to playing cameo appearances, but I don't know. I would move him on. And I think the thing why I would move him on is that his loan at Cerro Porteño is not going well either, from what I see on Twitter. I think we must have broken him at Orlando City. I think we've broken his confidence. But a lot of people stuck up for him and wanted to see him start. He did, again, like Shane O'Neill. He's a player who did have enough cameo appearances, though, to make an impression. He just did not grab them for me. You know, he didn't grab them. So I think we move him on, I'm afraid, regrettably. But I don't think we've seen the real Josue Coleman at Orlando City.
Yeah, I really couldn't care what we do with him. I said keep because I wanted to see how he would do under the new manager. But honestly, if I really couldn't care. He is a lot of money, $450,000. And the only reason I said keep was because we have a new manager. But whatever we do with him, I don't want him to be at Cerro Porteño next season. Because he isn't playing. He's wasting his time there for us and for them. He has two appearances. Two. This whole season. It's not even close to good enough. He can't get anywhere near the squad. He might as well be Danilo Acosta.
Exactly. Sorry to butt in there, but he took... obviously, he was a designated player as well, wasn't he, when he signed? Obviously, when he went on loan, it freed up a spot for Mauricio Pereira coming in. But designated player by name, we've not got any value really out of our designated players in the grand scheme since we came into Major League Soccer. But another reason why we got to cut our losses, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did kind of forget that he was a designated player. I'm sure we would buy him down, and I'm sure he would just have to accept that, or we'll just move on from him. Like I said, I couldn't really care. Just get him out of Cerro Porteño.
Agreed.
Pereira, $960,000 salary. Keep.
It's a lot of money, but we love Mauricio, don't we?
Sure do.
The only thing with this guy that I hope it doesn't play out that way, but there was a lot of fanfare when he signed, quite rightly, you know, because he's an exciting player and I do like what I see from him. I just hope we've not hyped him too much. Obviously, he was bought as a 2020 piece, who was obviously playing over there in the Russian Premier League and needed to get his fitness before seeing minutes on the field with Major League Soccer. But I think the thing I want to say with Mauricio Pereira is that he's a quality player. That's undoubted. You can tell he's played at a higher level before in the Europa League in the few outings he's had so far. But what I want to say with Mauricio is that I hope we play him in one position and stick with it in 2020. He's played in the number 10 so far, and he's also played on the right flank, capable of playing both roles. But I really feel that we have to get, in the young history of Orlando City, we've had so much turnover with the starting 11. I want to see some continuity now. It is hard with international call-ups and injuries and what have you, but I want to see this guy in the number 10 for a whole season and see what he can do. I don't want him getting partway through next season and, you know, we don't know quite what his best position is. You know, he's played as a 10 at Krasnodar, and I want to see him in there next season.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That was exactly what I was going to say. He's been put out on the wing by James O'Connor. He's definitely not a winger. He does not seem to defend well in those wide situations. He always comes in to defend. And then on the attack, he comes in as well. He's 100% a center attacking mid. And for me, I want to see him there. You took the words right out of my mouth. Chris Mueller, $95,620. I believe his contract, his rookie contract, is up at the end of the season. Do you keep or do you move on from the fan favorite?
Chris Mueller, well, look, he is the fan favorite, isn't he? He loves Orlando. He loves the fans. He has a fantastic attitude. There is no denying any of that. He wouldn't have been delighted with the way his season went personally. He obviously started the season well. We were debating whether he was better as an impact sub late in games to take advantage of tired legs or whether, you know, he was worth the shout from the off. I mean, at the end of 2019, we still don't know really what he's better at, arguably as an impact sub. I mean, I love Chris Mueller, don't get me wrong. Any guy that's passionate about the club he's playing for and he has ability, there's no denying that. I think at 95, we keep him. At times, he looks like a player who can get US men's national team recognition. At others, he can be very frustrating, holding on to the ball, taking an extra touch when he really needs to shoot. But I really like Chris Mueller. I want to see him stay at Orlando City.
Yeah, me too. He has his ups and he has his downs. And sometimes when he starts the games, he just has not a poor game, but just an average game overall. And then when he comes off the bench, sometimes he'll impact it crazily like he did against Seattle, getting the goal, or DC getting the goal. I think he got the assist on that one early on in the season. But he has his highs and then he has his lows. A couple games this season where he played terrible. And so I would like to see more consistency from him, but 100%, I want to see him re-signed. He's a fan favorite. I got his jersey this season after the DC game. And so I want to see him stay. Another person I want to see stay is someone who I think actually has a higher ceiling, Benji Michel, $85,000 a year. I think everybody wants him to stay.
Definitely. Again, another straightforward one for me. Benji actually won, we run at the end of each season here at Orlando State UK, we run a fan-led poll. They vote in three categories for the Orlando City Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, and Newcomer of the Year. Benji got over half the vote in our Young Player of the Year poll. He got 51%. And I think the boy has talent, doesn't he? I think if you go through our whole roster, I think he's one of the most naturally gifted strikers of a ball. He's still raw, don't get me wrong. He's unsteady on his feet, but he has talent, you know. And I think he's one of the heartwarming stories of a disappointing 2019. Local lad, of course, grasped his opportunities with both hands. And I think getting that first ever professional goal against the Revs in the Open Cup, it was a great moment. And I think he has a high ceiling, like you say. At times, in the final third of last season, I was screaming for James O'Connor to be starting him on a more regular basis. Mm-hmm. I think he had more of an impact than Chris Mueller. I want to see both of those guys stay. They're young, they're hungry. I was at the Orlando away game at Toronto FC where Benji scored as well. A game where, again, we blew it on the road. Would have been a massive 3 points. But I like Benji. I like what I see from him. And $85,000, no brainer.
Yeah, keep. Hit the nail on the head there. Now, a weird one for a lot of people. Robinho.
Robinho. The forgotten man.
Yeah, the forgotten man. Crazily enough, 198,000 a year. Wow. That is so much money for someone who doesn't play. Now, before I get your two cents on it, he is a left winger. So I don't think a lot of people knew that. We threw him out on the right. He did okay out there, but he's a left winger. I think he was brought in as depth for Nani, and that's why we haven't seen him play. Would you keep or move on from him, though?
Well, I think the first thing to say, Gavin, I had no clue whatsoever that Robinho was on 198K.
Mm-hmm, neither did I.
That is way too much for a player that is, as you say, a natural left winger. He's only going to play when Nani isn't playing on that side. I don't know with this guy. You know, I was quite excited. You know, I was quite excited when he signed from the Crew. Obviously, a Ricardo Moreira addition in the front office. I don't know, man. This guy hasn't blown me away. Hasn't played much, but in the few chances he was given, I mean, he's fast, isn't he? He's rapid, Robinho, but just haven't seen it. I mean, the last we actually saw of him was when he was in tears, right? Up there at Minnesota, and never came back since then. It's very strange, but 198,000. I mean, for that reason alone, I think we move on.
Yeah. He's had a rough time in MLS, both with the Columbus Crew and us, and he actually started for Columbus. He was a starter over there, and he just couldn't get it going. I think he had like one or two assists and so many appearances, and as a backup, that is way too much money. I would like to see him succeed. I'd like to see him, you know, be good here, but I think he's going to be similar to Pino last year, and we're just going to move on from him. Let's just get this one out of the way. Luis Nani, $2,333,000.
He's a keep, isn't he? He's a keep. The captain, he came in, he took the armband, didn't he, from Sasha. I think he showed up in 2019. I don't think anyone out there can say Nani fell below expectations. He broke our goal involvement record. I think it was 22, 12 goals, 10 assists, right? I might have that round the wrong way.
That's correct.
Can he deliver another year older? Absolutely, can't he? I mean, look at him. He keeps himself in great shape. What I would say is that he needs a similar output in terms of goals and assists next season, but he needs the contributions around him. In the early days, we passed the ball to Kaká and let him do everything. At times, we do that with Nani. We can't keep that happening. We need others around, you know, who are willing to take the ball, take the responsibility. It's not all on him, but I think Nani's a good thing for Orlando City. I did hear rumours that him and James O'Connor didn't see eye to eye. I think that might be blown out of proportion. I think it's that classic case of, you know, a big name player coming into MLS and a smaller name head coach. I don't know if you could say they didn't see eye to eye. I think Nani's got a good attitude. He's signed a 3-year deal, which was questionable at the time. But, to, you know, to all the doubters out there like Matt Doyle, MLS, Nani came in and he produced the goods. And the fact that he played a full season after coming from Sporting Lisbon, where the season was still active, we had to manage his minutes. We probably managed him way too early. I was part of the camp shouting for him to start RSL earlier in the season. But he showed up in 2019, no doubt. And he will be our leader next season.
Yep, my captain. 100% we'll be keeping him. Yep. Now, a controversial one, Dom Dwyer, $1.3 million.
Man.
this one's on the fence. On the fence. What do you think?
Oh, this one is, I'm going to say this because I love Orlando City. He's on way too much money. This one hurts because he really needs to come out swinging in 2020. He's not going anywhere. Look, let's say that first and foremost. He's not going anywhere next season. Mm-hmm. You're Orlando City. Luis Muzy said it already. For anyone out there thinking, we're going to shift Dom Dwyer in, we're going to get a new player to replace him, we're going to sign a new striker, but it's going to be in addition to Dom Dwyer. He's not going anywhere. But I was so disappointed in Dom this season. You don't need me to say it. Obviously, he went through a lot this year personally. Birth of his second child, of course, but it's not good enough. It really isn't good enough. And I'm not going to mince my words here. I was spitting feathers watching the game so many times this season when he was playing. He's got to tuck away those chances. The one I think of is the New York City one, which kind of was the start of his downfall in front of goal. But a player on the money he's on, a player who was very good at SKC, a clinical centre forward in Major League Soccer. What is going on? What is going on? He needs to produce. I think every single Orlando City fan has lost faith in him. What really bugs me is that he does the motivational posts on Twitter before every game and then goes out there every game, runs around like a headless chicken, skies a couple more shots. I don't know what's happened with this guy. You know, he kept scoring at SKC. I'm sorry, you know, again, you know, he's just got to produce. I'm sorry, he's got to produce for the money he's on. If not, I would move him on. But the club are backing him. He's obviously a fan favourite, quite rightly, for what he's done in the past with us. But how many times are us Orlando fans, you know, living off nostalgia? You know, I want to win now. You know, and this guy, I'm sorry, he has not produced the goods. And his drop-off in form is alarming. You know, you can't miss the chances he's missed. He, at the end of the season, Gavin, in that final third, all he could seem to do was score those looping headers, which is quite cool because, you know, like, they were great goals, but then he misses the tap-ins. You know, he misses the ones in the 18-yard box. You know, you cannot be missing those, you know. And ultimately, you know, without Tesho's goals this season, you know, where would have we been? I mean, well, probably where Cincinnati were, right? We finished up. But, you know, we suffered two-thirds of the way through this season. We suffered because we finally had the defence that weren't giving a lot away. I mean, we were a lot harder to beat this year. We didn't get stuffed many times. But it was the top end of the pitch. And I know Dwyer wasn't there for a lot of games, which is another reason why he was on so much money for a guy that is sitting at home. But, you know, look, we need our star striker, a striker that is on that money, to be putting away the chances when called upon. And I don't think any other Orlando fan out there can say any different. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did miss him this season. We missed his output. He went from first name on the team sheet or second name on the team sheet other than Nani to, should we start him?
Yeah.
Should we give Akindele a go? Should we try Michel at striker? Like what are we doing with Dwyer? And he's on way too much money. And you're 100% correct. He's not going anywhere. His wife plays for the Pride. And we already saw how horrible of a situation that has happened with Carrasco and Alex Morgan. Exactly. And it's bad. It's a bad state. Not a bad statement, but it's a bad look for the club. Alex Morgan still talks about it to this day. She's not happy with how they handled that. But, you know, I don't think they're going to make the same mistake twice. And they're not going to ship Dwyer off with his wife sitting here playing for the Pride. And I think they're a tag team. They're a duo. They're marketable. They're in all the commercials. And all we can do is hope that next year's system brings the best out of him. You know, we saw it. He did pretty well with Jason Kreis with the two up top when Laren was here. And I thought they fed off each other really well. He scored a couple goals at the end of that season. He did really well under the Kreis at the start as well when we went on that six-game win streak. And then he did decent under James O'Connor when James O'Connor was trying a new formation every other game. And then this season, he just – his what's the word? His productivity just dropped. It just went away. And for me, that was because of the system. You know, we started really forcing the ball down the wings, and he's more of a force the ball down the middle type of guy. But when those type of chances come to you, you have to put him in the back of the net. And he did not have the confidence, and he was skying them. He was missing the chances. I mean, he missed the penalty in the shootout. It wasn't good enough. Unfortunately, though, I'm gonna say keep because he's Dom Dwyer and he's staying.
Yeah. The thing before we move on, the thing I want to say with Dom as well, I was gonna ask you if I mean we all know he's staying. I was gonna ask you if you would keep him. But I think the thing with Dwyer, I mean, he's forged a name in Major League Soccer as being this striker who is an absolute pest. You know, he's a nightmare. He's a nuisance. He, you know, ruffles feathers with the opposition centre backs, and then, you know, strikes, you know, like in a flash. But this season, all he was doing was that stuff, you know, picking up yellows, you know, it wasn't positive, you know, it was really frustrating to see. And the more he was struggling with his own confidence in goal, in front of goal, the more he was doing that kind of stuff, and it wasn't taking us anywhere. So what I'd say with Dom Dwyer before we move on is that he's staying. I want to see that guy buckle down next season, and I want to see him pick his game up, because ultimately we know he can do it. And I think that's the thing with Dom. You know, he's been a clinical centre forward in the past. He's another year older, but he's no way over the hill yet. He needs mm-hmm. to get in the game next season. He might well do it under a new head coach. You know, we've seen it before in soccer. You know, he might have a new lease of life, but I think he's on his last chance. Well, I think he's had his last chance with a lot of Orlando fans, but he's going to be staying, so we've got to get behind him, and we've got to hope he produces the goods.
Yep, 100% agree there. Moving on, Akindele, $150,000 a week, got the most goals in his career, but he also had the most minutes in his career, I'm pretty sure. Keep or move on?
I was really pleasantly surprised by Tesho. He's a definite keep. We actually signed him in the mini transfer window at the end of the year that you referenced earlier, that will be coming up again soon. The first signing for 2019, obviously moved across with Luis Muzy. Really impressed. 10 goals, a career high in terms of minutes and goals, as you say. Really positive. And at times, without Tesho's goals, obviously Nani was the leader at the end, but without Tesho's goals, you know, we were really struggling. You know, I think Tesho stood up, and he's an MLS vet. He's not that old yet, Canadian international. I think he contributed his fair share. And I think when all's said and done, as it is now at the end of the season, he can be very proud on a personal note of what he contributed.
Yeah, a keep for me. If anything, just a good squad player and someone that I think we can trust from the start to possibly impact a game should Dwyer have another shit season. Yeah. And finally, to finish out the squad, we do have a big squad. Patino, keep or sell?
Santiago, another Orlando boy, of course. Still a bit of an unknown quantity for me. I mean, didn't get as many opportunities as Benji Michel. Scored a couple goals out there at Portland and Philadelphia, important goals on the road. But I don't know, man. He's strong. He's a completely different kind of attacking player than Benji is. But he's only on 72 grand. But I don't know. I don't know. The fact he's an Orlando boy might save him. I don't know. I really don't know on this one whether to sell or keep him. What do you think, Gavin?
You know, I really couldn't care. Yeah. He's young. He has potential. Blah, blah, blah. I said keep, give him another season, you know, see if he's going to produce for us or if he's just going to, you know, be that kind of third, fourth string striker who never plays and is an Orlando boy, as you say, because, you know, he is. And it's sad to see because he was our first round pick in the draft and he's barely produced. He hasn't really shown flashes of anything promising. Whenever he's been on the field, I haven't been too impressed, and I'm just hoping that's because it was his first season. So I'd give him another season, definitely. You don't want to get rid of somebody too early and then all of a sudden he pops up at some random team like FC Dallas and scores 15 goals in a season. So definitely keep, but I would say my patience is thin with him.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
All right, so that is the entire squad, and looking back on what we kind of talked about, just talked about now for a while, we would save about just over $3 million. If we were to do the math, I'm not going to do it right now, but just over $3 million around that mark. And that's of course not even counting Sané or Dwyer as some players that people would want to leave as well. So we have a lot of wages saved there, but we do have a lot of work to do. We have contracts running out, and from all the contracts that I can see, we have to re-sign Juan. We have to re-sign Rowe if we are going to keep him. Grinwis, Smith, if we are going to keep him. Moutinho and Mueller at the bare minimum. All of them will or will most likely want a pay raise. And so we're going to be splashing a little bit of cash all there. We also would have about four returning central midfielders. We'd have one number six in Mendes. We'd have one number eight, number six or number eight in Cam Lindley. And we'd have two number 10s in Coleman, if we do decide to keep him, and Pereira at number 10. We would have about three returning center backs, and actually we would have two returning left backs, so never mind there. But all of those positions would need replacing, especially midfield. I do see a massive overhaul in midfield coming in our future. Are there any other positions other than the center backs and the center mids where you think we need to add either starting quality, just higher quality pieces in general, or maybe just depth pieces?
I do. I think we start at goalkeeper. I know Rowe is a contentious one, obviously knows the league, but I think we can do better there. I think we need a better goalkeeper if we're going to be a playoff team. I think that's a priority. I also feel, and this is only a personal one because I don't like Nani in the 10. I do, despite being older and his legs slowing down, I do still like Nani on the left wing. If Sasha Kljestan's moved out, as we're all expecting, Mauricio Pereira is the only real true 10 because I'd be moving out Sasha and Coleman. So I do feel, you know, we could need a 10 as well, another backup.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Mueller can kind of play everywhere, can't he? But Chris Mueller is a player that should be playing on the flanks. So again, I think a number 10 maybe, you know, a flair player to capture the imagination obviously would cost a lot of money. It's a vanity position on the field. But Pereira, I want to see starting in the 10 consistently, but we might well need a backup there, you know, if Sasha Kljestan, who, you know, was the link between the midfield and the attack. You know, I feel before Pereira, we really lacked depth in that position anyway. So I would like to see the front office go out and address that need as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. We will need backup. You know, Pereira, of course, was coming off of a half a season without playing, but he did come in straight away and he trained for a couple weeks and then got injured. So we don't know if he's injury prone. I believe he's missed, not full seasons, but he's missed some time with Krasnodar. But that happens with all players. So I think that's a good shout. Looking for a backup number 10. But for me, that's where Coleman would come in. And that also is where the coach comes in. So if the coach sees Josue Coleman and says, all right, I want to use you as my backup and I want to see if you're good enough there, we keep him. Or if we get a coach and he's like, yeah, I see no potential with you, I don't think you're a good enough player for this team, we move him on, get those wages back, and we invest into a backup center attacking mid. So that's a good point. That's a very good point. But in those positions previously mentioned, so definitely the central midfield area, we're going to need depth. Center back, we're going to need depth on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. And the center attacking mid position. Do you have any specific players you've been keeping an eye on? For me, and you'll see this on my mini shortlist series that I did on my blog, I talked about a midfielder named Georgi Zhukov from Kazakhstan, actually. And I think he would improve our ability to possess the ball in opponents' halves tenfold. His contract is up at the end of January. I really urge you guys to go watch his highlights. The ball sticks to his feet. He megs opponents left, right, and center. He's very skillful on the ball. One of the top players in that league. And I really want him. But I don't know if we'll get him because, you know, he's from Kazakhstan. He's playing in his home country. And he's playing on a good team in his home country. So I don't think we'll get him, but I think we need a player like that. We need a player like Pereira who can help us keep possession in the opposition's half. And he would be a very good player. He would play a little bit deeper, so he'd be like a number 8 instead of a number 10. And he would be in the starting lineup for me alongside Mendes. Do you have any players that in the mentioned positions that you've been keeping an eye on? I know you talked about the goalkeeper from Bruges. Are there any others?
Well, I've got to say, I've not seen Zhukov. I'm definitely going to watch the YouTube after this. But yeah, as you said, you know, midfield will need reinforcing. I actually, it's a great website that you guys might not would be aware of. It's Transfer Market. And I had a quick whiz through the current list of free agents worldwide in soccer right now this morning. There were some interesting names on there, so I thought I'd come on the pod and just whittle a few of those off, you know, ones that stood out to me, okay. What you thought as well. Hatem Ben Arfa on there. Newcastle was at Rennes, and number 10, of course. Wilfried Bony. Obviously, Swansea City did great things before going to Man City. He was at Al Arabi in the Middle East and got 5 goals in 7 games over there. Still only 30 years old. I thought he was a lot older than that. But again, you know, experienced. The one on the list that stood out to me, Martin Olsen, experienced Premier League and Championship campaigner, played for Blackburn Rovers, Norwich City, not had a club since he was at Swansea City. He's a Swedish international, still only 29 years old, I believe. It would be good to see a Swedish connection between Robin Jansson and Martin Olsen, potentially. He was a standout name on this free agents list I was going through this morning. Lucas Silva, defensive midfielder, previously on the books of Real Madrid, currently without a club. Alan Hutton was at Aston Villa. My partner's actually an Aston Villa fan, and watched this guy firsthand a lot last season. Really surprising that he's not picked up another club down there in the Championship in England. If he fancies a crack at MLS, you know, could be good backup to Juan. But to be honest with you, Juan's going to be a first choice. But there's a few interesting names on there as I was scanning through this morning. But I think it's important to say that with Major League Soccer, it is near on impossible to guess what clubs are going to do next. You know, it is not like it's not like Europe where you read the papers, you know, you're on websites and you can, you know, track the progress of a transfer pursuit through to the player actually signing. It is near on impossible. We saw it with Mauricio Pereira midway through the season. A Latin American journalist tweeted that he'd signed a contract with Orlando the evening before he actually signed, you know, and that's what we see with all clubs, you know. Things are wrapped up behind the scenes a lot. You've seen some more public pursuits like Christian Pavon at Galaxy and stuff like that. But I think with a club like Orlando City, it's near on impossible to predict what they're going to do next. But there's a couple of names. Do any stand out to you, Gavin, on that list?
I've definitely had a look at that list, and I didn't see Martin Olsen. That's a name I know very well. I've watched the Premier League for 10 years now, and I know a lot about him. He would be an amazing defender for us. I like that. If anybody listening to this is part of the front office, please go after him. but anyways, there was one name on that list that I did like, on top of some of the ones that you mentioned. And Jordan Mutch, player who played in the Premier League, player who played in China recently, but he played in the Championship as well. He's also played for Vancouver. And so he has MLS experience. He would be a direct replacement for Will Johnson, in my opinion. He's a hard worker. He's a big guy. He would be great depth piece on this team. He only earned, I want to say, 100-something thousand. He's not going to be some expensive European. I would like to see us go after him. He, again, has MLS experience. He would be a hard worker in the midfield, and he would just add depth to our midfield, quality depth and experience. So for me, that would be the name that stood out on the list for me.
Interesting one. Didn't tear up any trees in that short spell with the Caps, and apologies, he was with the Caps last season. But as you say, experienced, he's tall, you know, he's a physical presence. Wouldn't cost a lot of money, as you say, you know, and just because you didn't, you know, tear up any trees at one MLS club doesn't mean you can't at another. So, yeah, interesting. But all Orlando City fans, I would urge you to have a look at that list, you know. Scanning through, there's some names on there that would improve Orlando City no end. And as I say, I want to bang the Martin Olsen drum at the moment. Again, he would know Robin Jansson from the international setup, and you know, experienced. And as we were saying earlier in the pod, you know, João Moutinho, injury prone. I think Olsen's someone that could really thrive in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, definitely. Now, before we sign off, there have been some rumors swirling for a couple players actually. We've heard the rumors of Higita moving to Liga MX, a couple clubs looking for him there. We have new rumors as of Friday that we were a possible destination for a name we will all know, Daniele De Rossi from Boca Juniors. He plays there now. He's obviously played for Roma basically his whole career before moving on. And also, there were rumors earlier on in the season that a couple teams from, I want to say, either Brazil or Colombia were looking at Santiago Patino. What are your thoughts on some of these rumors?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? And as you say, there's not been too many to the kind of follow this season, you know, rumors wise. It's been pretty thin on the ground for Orlando City rumors. But Daniele De Rossi, I mean, he could do what Antonio Nocerino couldn't, right? He's a much better version of him. But I think, I mean, the interested clubs, obviously Inter Miami, are going to get linked with a hell of a lot of players that we are. Wouldn't it be great to sign a player like Daniele De Rossi, even though Inter Miami are joining the league? I mean, that would be incredible, wouldn't it, to get a player over those guys. But no, there's not too many rumors out there other than the Higita one moving on at the moment. We've just got to wait and see, I'm afraid. It's a patient waiting game at the moment. But as you say, you know, as the weeks go by, we're getting closer to those off-season events that change, you know, and shape a roster. So I think we'll be hearing a lot more soon.
Yeah, I mean, the transfer window doesn't open until the end of the expansion draft, basically. I know we have that small window, but the real deal transfer window that is open for months on end opens at the end of the expansion draft. And so that's where I think not only rumors are going to pick up, but activity is going to pick up. I mean, we went through it. We got rid of almost our entire midfield. And you know, when I was talking about Jordan Much, I would definitely bring him in as depth. I don't think he would be a starting figure on this team, but he would just be a cheaper Will Johnson, in my opinion. And you know, we need to look cheaper. We need to look at players who are going to help this team and just be smart moves from our front office. Like we were talking about earlier, we need to have smart moves from this front office. For me, Jordan Much would be a smart move. He'd be a great depth addition. And that's what we need to do in this transfer window. So definitely this is just a preview. There will be more rumors coming out over the next 3 weeks. If there's not, then you know something's going on. Something crazy. But there's more to come is basically how I want to finish this. There's more to come, and there's going to be a lot of content for all those content creators. And you know, it's going to be impossible to predict what happens. We could
Exactly.
sign some crazy striker who wants to move his family to Orlando because they like Disney. We could sign some terrible center mid who we thought was going to be amazing. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. All we can do is hope and pray that Luis Muzy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think the early signs, to be fair to him, he's came into the club, he's ruffled feathers, he's been brave, you know, he's been that leader. We're at a crossroads and we need a leader. You know, we've got to believe that he's going to produce the goods. The signings brought in this year under his watch, good. I want to see more. You know, we have to be shrewd and we have to get the hire right and we have to recruit wisely.
Yeah, well said. And that's where I'm going to end it, Taylor. I do really appreciate you coming on, and I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast as a guest and discussing the upcoming transfer window with me. Everybody, make sure you follow him at Orlando City UK or at Orlando underscore City UK on Twitter if you aren't already. I'm sure most of you are. Check out his posts on the website, www.weareorlandocityuk.com. Taylor, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on.
An absolute pleasure, Gavin. As I say, it's never a chore chatting Orlando City, no matter how much they've broken my heart in the 5 years so far. I'm missing them. As I say, I'm jealous watching all these playoff games this weekend. And as my final message, I just want to say to the Orlando City fans, we're at a crossroads. It's not been pretty, but please, please stick with the club. You know, it hurts all of us to see Exploria Stadium getting more empty. You know, it's understandable, but on the flip side, you know, a football club is a lifetime commitment. If you're thinking of switching to Inter Miami, I'm afraid we don't want you at Orlando City. We need to go into 2020 all guns blazing. It's a completely new script, and keep it City always.
Well said there, Taylor. Well said. We definitely need to be confident going into next season, all guns blazing. We need to back this club. And like I said earlier, we just have to hope that everything works out for us. Thank you again, Taylor. And that is where I'm going to end it, guys. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at OC Lions Blog. Make sure you follow me on Instagram under the same handle. And make sure you check out the blog at www.oclionsblog.com. Till next time, though, this has been Gavin Rushnell. Vamos, Orlando.
Vamos, Orlando.